Welcome to the June 17th, 2026 special Parks and Recreation meeting. We do roll call.
Roll call has been taken. Let the record show all members are present.
Excellent. Now we will open public comment. This public comment is for anything that is not on the agenda. Please come up to the microphone, introduce yourself. And you'll have 3 minutes to talk about anything that is not on the agenda. Do we have anyone on the line who would like to?
There's no one on the line.
Thank you. Bring it back to the room. Is there anyone who has public comment for anything not on the agenda? And with that, we will close. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm Don Flint. It's kind of a minor issue, but I think it's something that could be fixed really easily, and I think it's y'all's purview. It's not on the agenda, and that is the swim pass thing for rec swimming. In prior years, I'm just looking at a prior year thing. It was they had a 10 entries for $35. They had a season pass, which I really care about, for 45. They don't have the season pass right now, and I think the reason may be that there's no guarantee on how many times the pool will be open. And I want to say, as somebody who wants to spend money on a season pass, I can read, I understand, even on this one from the prior year, it said, no refunds, no guarantee on when it would be open, something like that. I don't have the words. I should have highlighted it, but just let us make the decision whether or not we want to buy it. Don't say, no, we don't want to give you a season pass because it's a short season and we don't know how good it'll be and we don't know when the pool will be open. That's Let us make that call and buy it if we want it, because I don't want to have to come in and pay every single time I've come in for the rec swim. Seems like an easy thing to do also. And one other thing is, I really want to compliment the effort that the staff here has put on to get lifeguards trained and get the pool open and deal with the crowds and everything that's happened. I know it hasn't been easy, but it has been nice to be able to come in for lap swimming, and I know my wife's done the exercise thing that they do, and also the rec swim. So great job on the people to finally make it happen.
Thank
Appreciate
you,
that.
Don. And if you can stick around to the end of the meeting, I'm sure just speak with Monica quickly about the swim pass. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that has anything they would like to say for public comment? And with that, we will close public comment. Now on to the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay.
Kelly?
Vice Director Guteau?
Aye.
Director Graham?
Aye. And our first update, our only update, it looks like, Monica Gallo.
Good after evening. Okay, so we're going to start doing, since this was the first one, some of it's going to be just an example of what we do. And then for the next Park and Rec meeting, it'll have like detailed of what was done that month. So this is giving you a picture of what was done in May. So I wanted to let you know who we have on our team. There's myself, Matt, who is our coordinator, and then we've got Luis, who is strictly irrigation. And believe it or not, we could probably use three irrigation people with as old as the infrastructure is and leaks and broken valves and everything else. So Luis is doing a fantastic job stepping in, learning and taking care of everything. And then that leaves us with Connor, Fernando, and Anthony to take care of everything that you're about to see. So this is gives you an idea of what a typical month looks like for us. We mow, for example, that first Monday, it's in a rotation. We have one person that does, it takes about 6 hours for one person to pick up every dog waste station and garbage can throughout this town, parks, the walkway from Newport to Sandy Cove Shopping Center. Then we've got a person that mows and details Regatta Park, and Slifer Park. In one day, one each, the irrigation repairs, and then we'll have Matt spraying weeds, pulling weeds, taking care of resident concerns, anything like that. And we have to stick a lot of times. I'm glad I'm having the opportunity to explain this, because if we get pulled off on something that's a mow week, we have this set specifically for the days we irrigate. So it's very difficult to move the mow schedule, because that might be a night that we're irrigating the parks and then we're going to get our mower stuck. They're going to rut. It's right. So you can see that, you know, what's highlighted there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, whatever, in a month, it takes that long just to mow everything here. And then when you have something like on our non-mow week, where you'll see, and this is the example, the next one you see, I will give you specifically what we did on those days. But for example, right now we've been out at Regatta Park, which desperately needed a deep clean like we did at Cornell. Mm-hmm. But it takes three guys, Connor, Fernando, and Anthony, 2 weeks to get through that. So when we have the only three guys, team members we have at one area, weeds are going to grow other places. We can't split the people. And then on top of all that, we aerate and fertilize. We power wash Cornell Park barbecue area and Ravenswood every time there's a rental, which is about every Friday in the summer that has to get done, which means weeds aren't getting pulled and sprayed. As well as the barbecue area here at the community center. We also, in between all of that, have to do playground safety inspections, graffiti removal, which is very time consuming if you drive around, especially during breaks, it gets pretty bad. Any splash pad repairs, and then now that the pool's open, you know, it takes a minimum of an hour a day just to check the chemicals, clean out the dolphin, which is our vacuum, and get it ready for the day.
Is your team fully staffed, or is there any
fully staffed? I have more budget to hire anyone.
I knew the answer already, but
yeah, we just wanted to make sure everybody can hear.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
It's a situation with which we're going to talk a lot about, I think, coming up.
We are, today, yeah.
The budget and the lack of and the funding, and it's that stops us from doing a lot of things. There's a lot of things we would like to do.
Yeah.
Just don't have them.
And that's me out there as well. I didn't even include, because I'm doing a lot of working on CIP projects and keeping up with licensing for pesticides and everything else. But I go out there in between all that. And I just last week spent 2-3 hours one morning pulling all the weeds in front of Slifer Park. So that's also me being thrown in the mix, and it's still very difficult to keep up on everything.
And your current hours, is it 7 to 4, or what do you got?
In the summer, now that we're hot, we're 6 to 2:30.
6 to 2:30.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah. And then the next slide, please, Kelly. No, that's okay. Do you want me to? Oh, there we go. You know, this was shown a long time ago, but I thought it worthy to bring up again, just because a lot of folks don't know. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to get this on record to remind people how Discovery Bay is broken up by zones. And the detail, like if you look at Zone 61, you don't think about that as Slifer Park, all the common areas, Park and Ride, Bixler, which starts at Park and Ride and goes all the way down to Old River School. Hmm. That's a long stretch of land that we maintain. Preston, Slifer Drive, Sussex Court, those are all those little walkthroughs that go between some of those courts to Bixler. That's all landscaped as well. So we have to hit all of those and keep everything tidied up so people can walk through. Yeah.
Just for a second. Yeah. And those 35, 57, and 61 are ones that...
those are county zones.
County owns them and pays us to...
We maintain, so we have no ownership, but we do right. have to maintain those for the county.
And what is their budget like? Is it?
57 is the same budget as it was 25, 30 years ago, whenever it was. And so, that has not increased yet. Fuel has gone up in the cost of materials. And yeah.
So if you need something, and I recall times when they have told you you're out of money and it's March and they say you can't clean up anything or mow any lawn till July, correct?
That's exactly right. 2 years ago, it was March, so good memory. And they contacted us and said, there's no more funds. You need to stop mowing. And I said, I can't stop mowing. I said, well, you have to. So... It had to not get the attention that it needed. We did better last year. We still had to stop early because funds ran out. So, and this is something when we talk about what we all do, one of the things that I implemented this last fiscal year that we're wrapping up is with the help of our finance manager, which creates more time for me now to do this on for the county, is I keep a weekly log of the number of hours that we can spend out there to ensure that we don't go over, because we're not going to take a chance that the town not get reimbursed from the county.
Okay.
Well, I had a conversation with the assistant general manager earlier, and you know, possibly given the current relationship that we do have with the county and with Stephen's connections and Dina's connection, maybe we should look at seeing if they'd be willing to relinquish ownership of those. I don't know if there's a financial incentive for us. Maybe there is, maybe not. I don't know.
We've looked into this before.
We have. The amount of money they were willing to give us to maintain it was far below what we're getting now. So, we could look at it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Good idea, Brian.
It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, be careful what you ask for, right?
That's
so.
Then I thought it might be interesting for everyone to see when we say Zone 8, Zone 61, you know, when we say these things, if you don't drive it and you don't see it and you don't work it, it's probably really difficult to understand what that means. So everything you see there in pink in Zone 8, and the map doesn't even do it justice when you're out there actually walking and spraying and taking care of all those weeds. So you'll see from... all the pink line is areas in which we either mow, take care of irrigation, weed, spray, that kind of thing. And then you'll see the same on the next slide for zone 9. So it's all those areas in green that you'll see that that we take care of. And next slide, 35. I think a lot of people don't realize that we do maintain for the county that stretch of pathway that goes from Newport to Sandy Cove, as well as those medians on Bixler. And then the next one, 57. This is the area that's very challenging because the budget given to us is quite challenging to maintain that. And it also includes that stretch of Highway 4 from Bixler all the way down to the end, which is quite dangerous to with a very small crew.
We contract though for the tree, where's you know we?
For tree work, but not for all the spraying and the weeding and everything else.
But what we do contract comes out of the budget that the county gives us.
Correct.
Okay.
Actually, I didn't know it doesn't, but they do pay for that. So if they want tree work done in that area, I can't take it out of the operating budget. We would never mow because tree work is so costly. So I will reach out to them and say, this needs to be done. Do you have special funds somewhere to pay for it? But it's not the regular operating budget.
Next question is, you have to reach out to them.
I do. Yeah, they don't come out and
sure.
No. Yeah, I'll reach out and say, this is what needs to be done. And then 61, and this isn't the only one. 61 is quite large. So you'll see everything there in blue. And then the next slide, it goes all, like I said, all the way down, Bixler, all the way down to Old River. So it's quite a lot for really three people. Next slide, please. I guess that was the last slide. Just to give you some updates, the annual palm tree trimming will take place as always in July once we start our new fiscal year and have a new bucket of money. Super excited. We got the county to pay to put in the WeatherTrack smart irrigation system at Slifer. That just was completed, just like we did at Cornell. So the crew is loving that. It's very helpful. This is something that I just kind of want you to be prepared for. But the irrigation controllers around town are beginning to fail. They have reached their life expectancy. They are original. And when we have to do this, it takes a big hit to the budget. So replacing them is approximately $8,000 each. And we have nearly 50 controllers. So just keep in mind, certainly not 61, 57, and 25 would be something we would go to the county for, but 8 and 9, that's still quite a bit. So we limp along as much as we can, but we did just have to, there was one, it was just, you couldn't even get replacement parts anymore, that's how old it was, so it was time.
So just to clarify, so these controllers, like on Clipper Drive as an example, is there one controller controls, just help me understand with this.
Yeah, no, there could be one controller could have up to 36 stations. So it just depends. But someplace like Discovery Bay Boulevard will have a few controllers because it's more than 36 stations.
And do we need all these controllers?
You do if you want to water your irrigation. Yeah.
With, potentially with technology changes or other things and redesigns of our.
Yeah, no, that's something that's still needed, very much needed.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, we fix them as long as we can, but sometimes it's just time to replace. And recreation, just again, wanted to send a reminder what our current pool schedule is. Last weekend was a big hit, so things went great. So that's just a reminder for folks. And the next slide is at the time of doing this, we had, you know, five lifeguards. They did their in-service safety training June 8th to 11th. And then rec swim started the 12th. Adult lap swim and water aerobics began this week on Monday.
Question for you. So Dawn's gone, I guess. But are we ready or soon to be ready to do the swim pass?
No, we discussed that as a staff and really felt, to be fair to the residents, to only have the pool currently, to have opened late, mm-hmm. a little unsure of how it's going to go, and then currently to be open Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, it truly didn't seem fair to do to people. Here's a season pass, but you don't get to use it like you got to use it last year.
I was a little confused. So what was Don complaining about? He wanted to be able to buy the season pass regardless if he gets the full use of it?
Correct.
Well, do we have a system where he could put a credit card down and he could put money on? Is that something that we
No. do? I mean,
I'm just thinking of talking.
Yeah.
Or adjust the cost of the season pass to say, okay, we started so many weeks late, so it'll only be $40 this year or whatever. But still,
we're trying to bring in some revenue as well. But so
still with the same disclaimer of, you know, we can't guarantee things will be up and running all the time.
At this point, though, the only inconvenience for Don is he has to whip out his wallet every time. Is that what I'm Or is there a friend?
Not for adult lap swim. I don't know if he comes for a rec swim or if he was just talking in general for most people.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Also wanted to share the beautiful new synthetic turf we have out there. If you haven't seen out there, we removed all those, the river rock that was all along with the weeds growing. And that's a huge thank you to the supervisor's office. Measure X funds from the county is what paid for that. So we are very grateful for that. And this is just some of the flyers we have out for classes. Do a little plug in advertising for folks to could check out our website. The QR codes are on there too, and they're posted all around the community center and social media. And then Movies in the Park. This is our lineup for the summer. The first one was Minecraft. It's so hard to get because it's dark out, you know, but you can kind of see. I think we had about 40 people there. So that was a pretty decent turnout for the first one. So
oh, I think people like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Thank you. Ryan.
Great update. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now on to discussion items.
I should just stand up here the whole time.
Let's see, which one are we doing next? F1?
Lions Club. Summer Jam.
Oh, I'm looking at the, let me get to the right one here. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm going to, Lisa, are you going to? I'm going to introduce Lisa Combs. She's with the Lions Club, and she's going to discuss what they would like to do for Summer Jam.
Hello, everyone. Nervous as all get out. Okay. Hi, I'm Lisa Combs. I'm going to be vice president as of July 1st for the Discovery Bay Lions and co-chair of the Discovery Bay Lions Summer Jam for this year. Alongside is Jennifer Bruno, hi, also the Discovery Bay Lions member and board member. First, I'd like to say that Jennifer has been a true inspiration. We thought it was not going to happen. We're still praying that it will, and I'm here to back her up. It takes an army, and as Brian has told us, which we all know, and so we are putting our army together. And we're going to be ready for August 22nd. As far as myself, I have lived here for 12 years, blood, sweat, and tears of the community, more tears than you can imagine. I have executed the 10-year anniversary of the Discovery Bay Lighthouse. I was the one with the vision and a lot of tears for the Christmas tree when we had it over across the street. It's not just all about me, but I am saying one more thing. I have a lot of eyes in this. I apologize. I've done many events in my lifetime, and more than I want to tell you because that'll make me really old, very old. But I have to say that I have the experience to get this done, and with Jennifer, with us, we can do this. Summer Jam is not just a concert. It is an icon of our community that has been bringing residents and friends together for decades. I say decades because I feel like it's been here forever. I don't know how long actually we've been doing Summer Jam. Brian, how long have we been doing Summer
Seven
Jam?
7 years.
What was our first one?
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Seven?
Yeah, I didn't get my hand.
All right, well, I'm gonna say decades. All right, one decade. And we know Brian, we wanna thank you for everything that you've done. I'm not going to say it's harder than I thought. It's a lot of detailed for one person. So there's two of us now and a lot more. You know, we don't get paid for our time volunteering as a Lion. And it's a thankless job many times. But at the end, we are all Lions, and our mission here is to raise funds to help others and other organizations like Kaleidoscope, Joey Graves Foundation, and even here. We actually have given money for outdoor furniture when the pool was reopened and also help with the pickleball courts. What I'm trying to say is that we got this as a community and as Lions. But I want to address Monica's request that she has from her email and some of the things that I feel that you will have some questions on. So, regarding the additional 500 or for the additional deposit of 1500, no problem. We totally understand. We acknowledge and accept the request. I was told by Cynthia Allen, the treasurer, that she will be happy to pay when she gets an invoice. So when that gets approved. Regarding the admission fee, my apologies. I missed that on the application. And I said no, but at the time we were still wavering. Yes, we are going to charge $5 per person at the door. Children will be free under 12. The reason for the charge is just to justify the cost of the event. We're not trying to make any money. We just want a zero balance. Regarding the attendance control, we will have volunteers counting at the gate to control our occupancy. Everyone will have wristbands when they enter the gate. Entry will stop if occupancy reaches the town's limit. Can you tell me what the town's limit is? What you feel it is? That's a question that I have. Security. We have secured 8 security personnel from classified security, plus an additional Lion volunteers for parking lot, ID checks, and control.
Sorry, could you say that again for the parking lot?
We have 8 security personnel to roam, to be at the front gate, to roam around, make sure everything is safe. We will also have Lion volunteers that will be also helping out with parking lot, ID check, and control and the control restricted areas such as the pickleball courts, the tennis courts, and the pool. Alcohol. To answer Monica's question, yes, Discovery Bay will be serving beer and wine and margaritas just like last year. IDs will be checked at the gate this time. They will have a different color wristband for being 21 or over. That way, we feel that we're going to have 3 lines with 3 security guards and 2 people at each for each line as far as checking people in. We are also looking into online signups or paying online to bring the line down, and they would go into a separate line and just check their ID. Security will be checking purses. There will be no food, alcohol, of course, and any containers of any kind, and also no ice chests. Insurance. I have updated the insurance. I apologize. That was supposed to be, I don't know what I did, but you got a wrong insurance there. So you have the correct one now, and you'll see copies of additional insurance that I've looked into that for the event.
Yeah, actually, the insurance policy on file is still good through September. So
that's what I thought, but yeah.
It gets renewed in September.
Okay.
The only other policy you'll need is for the alcohol sales policy.
Right. And
the same person sells that policy. So.
Right. And we actually looked into Debbie Finnegan, thought it was important to have an event insurance, a separate policy. It's $200-something that covers like $2 million. So I think it's good that we get that. Facility requirements. We accept all restrictions that you have given us, but with one request, please. For security, we request access to the community center building like we have in the past to count money, to keep the money safe. Also, for the the band members to have a place to get out of the sun or just when they break so we can have give them some food and beverages during their break. I do understand and agree to have no pool access, no electrical inside the pool, no problem, no parking on the turf and pavers, no problem, and restricted gate access, not a problem at all. But in the past, we have had access and would appreciate consideration on what I've on the building. Town staff, I'm really confused on that, and maybe someone can explain it to me. I wasn't aware of any extra cost, and I couldn't find anything that we have paid in the past for extra costs. It hasn't been given to me, or no one seems to know. How much it is, approximately, when is staff here? I'm sure it's to open the gates. I understand that. Is someone here on the premises at all times? And then to close the gates, maybe. But if I can get a rough amount.
Staff is working on those numbers, and we'll have those at the next.
At the next meeting? Okay, perfect. Okay, that's it. And then if Jennifer would like to say something, you're more than welcome to.
I know there's been a lot with this whole summer jam thing, but we're really trying to cover every aspect of your concerns. I mean, there are concerns too. You know, we don't want anything to happen. We want the town to come together and have a great event and enjoy it. And I think without the alcohol, without people coming in and getting totally wasted, you know, I think that's going to be a huge, huge thing. And then with the security, you know, security is going to be watching over. We're not going to have one of the lions. Brian, how you have had to in the past, you know, you've had to, you know, referee and do all kinds of horrible things,
ma'am, sir.
Almost get your, you know, getting fights. And it's just, that's ridiculous. And I think that, you know, with us controlling the alcohol, and that's going to be a huge thing. And then with the security. So.
Oh, I have one more thing. Sorry.
That's good.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. So also just to let you know, spasmatics comes with quite a bit of a following, but they also come with lighting, they come with their sound, and all we need to do is provide the stage. And I found a stage, actually it's the one that City of Brentwood is using right now, and they're going to be done with it on the day before our event. If
the portable stage?
Yeah. No, the big one.
Yeah.
It's 16 by 16. And
it's transported through with the big rig.
It's, well, I met with the gentleman yesterday here, and he can bring the truck all the way close to the, what are you laughing at, Brian?
I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I tried to get their stage 10 years ago.
Oh.
And they said, no, we don't let our stage out.
I guess I just snoozed them.
Yeah, well,
no, it was available.
Not the personality. So.
Okay. So $1,850 is what it's costing. So $1,850.
Maybe then they've decided they need to have additional revenue streams as well. So.
It might
be.
The name of the, so we're not going through Brentwood. It's going through, what's the name of it? I didn't write it on here. I thought I did. Wait, I got it.
It's okay.
It's called Full Force Audio and Lighting.
I thought you were getting the stage to the City of Brentwood. So.
It's the one that the City of Brentwood is using right now.
Okay, but it's not their stage, they're just using it.
Right, yes. Okay. So just to let you know, I did a cost and a revenue and, you know, comparison. And for just having 500 people paying $500, $500 would be nice, huh? We can get anybody there. But $5, that's just $2,500. But everyone that I've talk to, I'm sorry, I have been talking because I want to know if they would be willing to pay $5. They have no problem.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it.
Wonderful. I've got a few questions, and I appreciate everyone's enthusiasm. I appreciate the detail, which is, you're absolutely right. It's important to the town. To our residents, everyone, we want to make sure that this happens. It's a fabulous event, and people are looking forward to having it, and we're missing the first one. So, but you understand that, you know, we do need a lot of safety, security, et cetera.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate that. So let me ask you a few questions.
Sure.
So opening and closing. So do we have the cost on that yet? Or no, we don't. Okay, that one is coming soon. And then now your parking lot management, you're going to have lines out there, so there'll be certain people assigned at different times.
It just won't be. It won't be just. It'll be a security person out there as well. So he will be in charge of making sure that the lions are going to be in their certain location.
Okay.
So I'm going to meet
person plus. Do you know about how many lions?
Four. Oh, four.
So four lions. Oh, wow. Two across the street and two in this. Parking lot. And I might be overkill, but I'd rather have safety than not.
Okay. Security. And so you said you're going to have how many?
Eight.
Excellent. You're just going right through all my questions. So unruly people, not that there ever would be. So security will handle those, period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And just to give you an idea, we're going to have, at the beginning, there will be three security at the entrance, three lines. One, if we do online ticket sales, they will be there to, there'll be two lions also. So it'll be two lions and a security person. Security person will be checking bags. I don't think that a lion should be doing any type of security for that. Once the line dwindles down, then one of the security guards will go and either go into the parking lot. We'll have to figure some sort of a schedule, and it'll all depend on how many people are in line. And hopefully the line with three will go fast.
Okay. And then will there be members there the entire time at the gate?
There will be at least one or two members at the gate. We need one for making sure, using my little thumb for a clicker, to count how many people are going in. We're talking about, we need at least a security person there at all times, and one person for those who come in late.
All right, now on your spasmatics, your fabulous little flyer here,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to include some of these things about, you know, no outside food or beverage.
It does say, yes, it does say that at the bottom, doesn't it?
Definitely going to promote it.
Mine might be.
Yours is old. I don't think, did you get that out of the folder?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mine might be cut off.
It might be. Yes, it does say.
Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. It probably, that was the last thing I printed running here, so.
Yeah, anything that we could.
Sorry.
To, well, no.
Clean.
Yeah, anything that we can advertise, letting people.
Yes, so it does say on the bottom. I'll send you, can I send you a electronic copy?
I would love that.
Okay.
I would love
that. I'll send it to you too, Brian.
Okay. Stage setup, you went through that. What about, how are you going to monitor number of drinks if somebody gets there and they're, you know, I'm on drink 10, not me personally. Don't anybody run out, put that on next door.
No.
No, somebody, you know, is drinking drink after drink. How are you going to monitor that? How do you cut them off?
That's a good question. It'll be just like a bar. You know, if someone's coming up, or, you know, they might be sitting there and someone else is getting them a drink.
Mm-hmm.
That is truly a good question. I will get back to you on that.
Yeah, if you.
I'm going to ask. I would love to ask security of the company and see how they handle something like that.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yeah, it certainly takes some special training.
Yeah.
To deal with situations like that.
And as lions, you know, the ones that are have the actual
events
that we have done in the past. Like we just did the boat show, and we definitely keep an eye on people. When we're pouring.
There was actually a person on Saturday that I refused to give them anymore.
Yeah.
Actually, I forgot that. Yeah.
So we keep an eye on people, and it's, even though there's a lot of people, we know who's who and who's been coming back over and over again. And we have the right to say, sorry, we're not going to, you know, give you any more alcohol.
Debbie Finnegan is going to be handling the truck or the trailer.
She'll be our lead.
And she'll be our lead for that. So I'm sure she's has been doing this a long time. I'm sure she will take care of that if something happens.
Brian, do you have any questions? We certainly appreciate all you have done over the years for this.
Yeah.
At least. And now here you are. Pass the baton to some people that are excited to get involved.
It is an amazing event, and it's grown every single year. And as Monica attests, it started up as 500 people or 300 people, and it's definitely more than 700.
So, that's a question too. It's like how I did ask that earlier: is how many will we be able to have? I did put on there 750, I think, because that's what I found from one of your old
that's the
applications.
Number I use at every single application for the ABC.
Oh. All right.
To be told.
Okay.
It's probably north of 1,000 that show up.
Okay.
I've asked staff to look into it. At this point, we don't have a number, so we'll just have to kind of.
Well, if it's approved this year, we'll have a clicker and we'll know for next year.
Yeah, the only comments I just want to make is, again, I've been doing this for 10 years. I know what the bottlenecks are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know what some things are you guys could probably expect to happen that you maybe haven't thought about yet. But ultimately, you know, it's. You know, you guys are renting out the facility and you're responsible for the ground. So it is what it is. I mean, if something happens, it happens. You know, I just will kind of recommend that at number seven there, I don't know how you're planning on blocking off the tennis courts and pickleball area. In the past, we've had damages to the courts and to the nets. So that's one area that you
want
to.
Do you want me to answer?
No, because we have the meeting next in 2 weeks. So
okay.
The benefit of this meeting is we kind of just have some casual conversation at the next meeting. You give a more detailed. I know it's
okay. We have to talk about this again. I'm just kidding. Okay.
You can skip all the I stuff and then just go straight to the.
Okay. The I stuff. Oh,
you know, I see that you're planning on having vendors as well. How many vendors, by just out of curiosity, are you thinking?
We're thinking 10. Walking out there yesterday, they're just going to be in tents. They're just going to have tents. They're not going to be staked down. You know, they're not going to be staked down or anything. And
the only reason I bring it up, but just for you to think about it at some point, is at the end of the night, everyone's trying to leave and trying to get out of there. So,
yes,
you know, I don't know how you want to deal with all your vendors. Will they wait to the end or they leave early or what it might be, something you think about? But there's going to be a lot of activity and it's very dark back there.
There so will. It is. Yes.
That's just one of the problems.
Thank you.
I think you'll run into a bit. And at the gate, I mean, you're going to have a bottleneck instantly. The moment that you say we're open, there's going to be 50 people trying to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be doing the ID and collecting fees and everything else, you just might want to think about how you're really going to be able to effectively do that to keep the line moving and not create
bottleneck,
yelling and screaming. And they get angry quickly over little things, as you know. Do you have an idea what time the facilities will be cleared out at the end of the night? How long the...
So the stage, if we need to get approval, they won't be taken down the stage until the next following day, the next morning. But everything else, the band says that it takes an hour for them to, but they have the lights and sound. So
right. They
need to take that down. I'm thinking hopefully by midnight we would be out of there.
If not sooner.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean,
Scott
is that.
Music at 10.
Is 2 hours enough? I mean, I'm going to pick up as much as possible, but we will have a crew that's going to come the next day.
I wouldn't worry too much about pick up until Sunday morning.
Okay.
Honestly, you know, at the end of the day, we know on Friday the beer truck arrives, the garbage cans arrive, and the bathrooms arrive.
Yep.
My recommendation is let that happen. Saturday, do your setup. Only takes, you know, a couple hours to set up everything. And then Sunday, come back for the cleanup, and you know, then Monday, they'll come and haul away the other stuff.
Okay.
It's just too dark to do anything really.
No, I agree.
Out there, and everyone's just trying to get out of there. I think 2 hours is probably enough time. Well, I don't know about the vendors. That one's an unknown to me, so
okay,
that might add on to it. You know.
All right. Well, we'll look into that. And
I know you were asking about how they're going to get access in and out of the facility, as far as the stage and the band and everything else. I'll let Steph address that, but. I think the road or the pathways, you know, what I used in the past, and then you get to the end to make it right. And just the big issue will be there's landscaping and irrigation stuff that we have to avoid. And
so I was going to ask you, so if you're facing where the stage usually is and you're facing it and you pivot a quarter to the right, behind the, I guess that's the pool and where the swamp
is.
The green,
pretty that on that side of the,
and it's and then you're facing.
No, we'd be fit. This is it. We're facing right here this way.
Uh huh. So yes. So they'll be facing that way. The sun won't be in the on the stage.
Yes, it will.
It will?
Yeah, sun's we directly on the stage until sunset.
So it'll be on the stage, but it's not going to be blasting right in their face. If they're facing this way, the sun will be coming this way. I don't know.
Are you talking about
moving the stage to the other area?
Yeah.
Not this.
Can I come up there and show you?
Okay. It's just something that popped in my head. Putting the stage here.
Yeah, I thought about that before, but then you're going to cut off how many people are going to effectively be in there.
Really?
So where did
You know, again, if you guys want to try it, I don't think that's a good idea.
Where's she sitting?
Because when the sun sets, and then it's fine.
Right. Here, I'll show you.
She just wants to move it over here.
Oh, just over there. Okay.
I tell you what, though, it's 6:15, and we got a couple more action items.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So.
Okay.
I think for tonight, unless she has something
else, good?
We're good.
Okay.
Back in 2 weeks, and we can address those little things about the crowd control and everything else.
Okay. Thank you. If you have any questions, you can also call me. So
thank you. All right. Our next discussion is recommendation to approve the removal of the concrete fencing at Ravenswood. Monica.
Oh, yeah. A couple comments you got.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we have any public comment about what was just discussed?
No one online.
Anyone in the room? We'll close down public comment. Monica.
Okay, so the Ravenswood neighborhood is approximately 20 years old, and in recent years, we've completed a lot of improvements to that area, along with a new splash pad, playground structure, and updated landscaping. Ravenswood Park is surrounded, and there's, I believe you might have a picture in there, it's surrounded with concrete fencing that is completely deteriorated over the years and is causing safety concerns. About 5 years ago, we replaced some of them, but those are also already beginning to crumble and fall apart. Recently, we successfully completed a similar project at Slifer Park, where all of the concrete fencing and posts, rails were removed. Ground at the level, and it really opened up that park, and we've received an awful lot of compliments on it. Which also helps with long-term maintenance costs, and those concrete rails are very labor-intensive, heavy, expensive, material-wise, and installation. So based on the success of the Slifer Park project and the current condition of the fencing around Ravenswood Park, staff recommends removal of the existing concrete fencing system, just as we did at Slifer Park. Again, eliminating maintenance long-term, the expense, safety, and just opening up that park. At the time of writing this report, I was hopeful it was gonna happen in this fiscal year, but we're not gonna make that deadline. So it would be recommended, we have revolving funds that we could use for the 26-27 fiscal year, or once the budget is approved, we certainly have those operating expenses. And we would hire the same company to take care of this for us as we did Slifer Park.
So removal, but no replacement.
No replacement.
Okay, and then what about... what about the fencing by the... what's the development? It's also falling down. The housing development. Yes. What about that?
No. Oh, no. Yeah. This for right now is strictly for zone 9, what we're talking about. So that's going to, some of that is zone 8, some of it is zone 61, some of it the developer was supposed to take care of. So eventually we'd like to get everything, but for this, it's for zone 9.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, did they give you a number though for fixing and replacing?
Oh, it's much more than that. I knew I should have brought that with me. Just the materials was over $50,000. And keep in mind, we replaced a lot of this 5 years ago, and it's crumbling.
Right.
The water, the sprinklers hit it, the kids stand on it, they jump on it. That concrete starts to soften, and then you have rusty rebar sticking out.
You had any issues? Have we had any issues at all where it's been taken out?
No. I'm knocking on. We have not.
Mm-hmm. It's frustrating because I'd rather have it replaced because it's a nice.
It is. But I agree. But
if the materials are 50 grand, that means labor's giving me another problem.
It was up there.
And it's always something we can think of in the future when funds become available, that if we do want.
Well, Zone 9 is out of business.
Yeah. Well, when funds become, you can always hope.
Okay. Well, I won't ask you to go back and get a quote for replacement.
And when I looked into that, that was over a year and a half ago. So prices have only increased since then.
You want to go public comments?
I'm asking, do you have any other questions?
No, I do not.
Okay, do we have any public comments?
There are no hands raised.
Third out the room. okay, with that, we'll close and bring it back.
Well, I make a motion to
approve
staff recommendation.
Yes. Okay, we're good. Did you hear that, Colin? Okay, well now.
Thank you.
We will just move on to the next one, too. Now, are you going somewhere? No, you're not going anywhere. Stephen and Monica.
A team effort on this one.
Yes. Discussion of possible recommendation to hire consultants to update the existing zone, very old zone 8.
Yes, very old, 2019 approximately. There's a pretty detailed staff report in your agenda packet. I'm not going to belabor the point and read the whole thing, but the part that I really want to focus on is for those that will read this later or listen to this meeting is really this first paragraph. So I'm going to read that verbatim. Contra Costa County Landscape and Lighting District M8, which was the predecessor to what we refer to as Zone 8, was originally formed to finance and maintain public landscaping and streetscape improvements and the related infrastructure in Discovery Bay. I just want to pause there to note that that does not include the community center. This community center did not exist at the time. It was strictly for landscaping by the county in Discovery Bay. Following the transfer of governance responsibilities from Contra Costa County to the newly formed town of Discovery Bay Community Services Districts, the Zone M8 became what we now refer to as Zone 8. Importantly, unlike many newer landscape and lighting districts established pursuant to Prop 18, Zone 8 is not funded through a fixed annual parcel assessment that may be adjusted periodically to account for inflation and other increasing costs. It's primarily funded through a share of ad valorem property taxes generated from within the zone. And as we know, those are based on assessed property value, and due to Prop 13, there's a limit on how much those can increase. So I just think that's important context for the discussion about any funding for Zone 8 is that it is not an assessment. We collect a part of property tax. And again, that calculation when the zone was created did not account for a community center, parks and recreation. It was for landscaping. And that's the framework that we still operate under all these years later. So as with many things, and as you both are well aware, having been on the board for a long time, the situation in Zone 8 from a fiscal perspective has not been improving in the sense that costs are increasing. And revenues have not been increasing to the same extent. And so we're running into an area, a time now where we are able to maintain levels of service, but we're not able to do capital improvement projects or really advance any new ideas.
What would you hope would be, so we do this, we have come in, take a look at it. Okay, now it's going to be triple or whatever the case may be. What is the outcome you're hoping for?
So I think what staff's looking for, there's a couple things. I think staff recognizes that if the board were to pursue any type of assessment measure, some additional revenue generation, that staff needs to also present a plan for how that funding would be utilized. And so what we're asking for in here is to seek out via RFP the creation of both a landscape master plan and a parks and recreation master plan. We would hire a consultant who would lead that effort, seek community engagement, staff engagement. We would build some robust plans of what the future could look like that would then inform, through another conversation with a separate consultant, another analysis similar to this one, updated for 2026, 2027 numbers, changes to state law, but really, again, incorporating those master plans. What would it cost to implement those? Staffing, material, time, all those things. And then bring that back to the board at that point to have a more robust conversation on what are the options and what's the board's desire to move forward with something like that. So that's the action that's before you, or the recommendation, I should say, that we're seeking your you know, feedback on. We haven't gotten proposals yet on the cost of those consultants or anything. We just are looking for that feedback first before we move forward with that.
No questions, just a comment that, you know, again, we looked at this in 2019, and from the board standpoint, it was a good, you know, potential solution, but the reality is, I, you know, just we never went forward with it because of lack of confidence that the residents would vote on it and approve it. So,
yeah, and I'll make a comment on a point that was made earlier about, you know, and I think we can definitely go back and look at a discussion with the county about the county zones. I know that that was one of the options that was originally proposed in this Harrison Associates report. So there was some work that was done to look at that and how having those zones and, you know, transferred to the town would create the opportunity for an assessment that would be of the entire town versus an area where we're talking about assessing something to zone 8 and zone 9, but not the rest. And so that was part of the conversation in that, and that analysis that was done before, but.
I don't think it's fair that other zones don't contribute to the community center. It's the reality of it, but.
Well, and this would also, I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, but help us when we're asking for Measure X funds for the parks, then we can say, this is exactly what it costs. This is what we had 10 years ago, but, you know, whatever the case may be.
That's correct. Those master plans would serve a huge purpose for a huge benefit in that way.
I went through it. I loved it. I think it's great. So with that, public comment, anyone?
No hands are raised.
Hands are raised. Anyone in the room? No. So with that, we will close public comment.
Margaret, are you just observing today, or did you have something to contribute?
So what are your thoughts, Brian? Do you want to make a motion? Recommend to the board?
Was there a staff recommendation of them?
Yes.
Yes.
Provide feedback. Yes, I
provide feedback and recommend that the board of directors authorize staff.
Well, I think she explore what the costs are going to look like for you actually hire anybody, obviously. But
yeah, again, that was the feedback tonight, was to make sure that we are okay to even, you know, spend the staff time to go and get proposals and do the work that's involved to get that, and then at the July 1st Parks and Rec meeting, we assuming we can get it back in time. I'll caveat. We'll bring
the value to all this. So
absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
We'll bring those back.
So then we don't need to do anything at this point.
Nope. Staff understands direction at this point.
All right. And with that, any future agenda items? With that, we adjourn the meeting at 6:28. Thank you.